Hi everybody, welcome to EDF Action Campaign Academy. This is our session on voter contact online, and we're led by Sarah Horvitz, who is the political director at Run for Something. And so with that, Sarah, take it away.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in today to this Campaign Academy. I'm Sarah Horvitz, I'm the political director at Run for Something, an organization that recruits candidates under 40 to run for local and state office. Prior to my time at Run for Something, I have worked on campaigns across the country in almost a dozen states, from field, doing a little bit of email writing, and different things of that nature. All right, so we are going to talk about reaching voters online. So why should you use digital as part of your campaigns? Digital allows you to amplify your message and reach a wider audience than you could with just direct voter contact. I imagine you all have learned about the importance of knocking doors, making phone calls, maybe doing a little bit of texting. Digital allows you to scale those operations in an easy way. It doesn't have to be complicated, it just needs to be consistent and it needs to be clear. So what does digital do? Digital amplifies your campaign message, it establishes your credibility and your viability, and it pushes people to donate, to volunteer, and support your campaign. We'll get into a little bit more on some techniques you can use, some tools you should use, but just know that digital doesn't need to be this big, scary, complicated thing. It can just be you or a volunteer or two at your computer helping you write some fun content, share some photos, and talk about why you're the best candidate for your office. So all of you probably know what these icons are. We have email, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, and we have Twitter. These are the main digital platforms that people are going to talk about, they might try to find for your campaign. With that said, you don't need to use all four. And I'm starting off by talking about this because, as I mentioned at the beginning, running a good digital program doesn't mean having great content on every platform every day. It just means reaching people where they are. One of the big things about this chart is it shows you what platforms people use. People are mostly on Facebook, as you can tell from this. Not a ton of people are actually on Twitter. It may feel like everyone's on there, every reporter's on there, but that doesn't mean that every one of your voters is going to be on there. And at the end of the day, most of your digital work should be targeted at voters. That's who you need to win your election. That's who you're trying to get support from. You can see folks are also on YouTube. They're on Instagram. They're on WhatsApp, which probably isn't really a great campaign tool. If you're wondering what WeChat is, it's a China-based chatting application. Again, probably not as useful for your campaign. My main point of showing this chart is to show you that folks are on Facebook. If you're only going to be on one platform, that's probably the one that makes the most sense. That's where the most of your voters are, and Facebook is so versatile in what it can do. You can send out ads over Facebook, you can post great pictures, you can start Facebook groups with your top supporters, and you can create a page for yourself, all accessible, all linked directly back to you, and you can have someone log in and use Facebook from their profile to post on your behalf. Some other online tools to consider. You're going to need to use something to send out mass emails. The biggest thing I can recommend to you is not to use Gmail to do that. Gmail has like a daily send limit. If you send a BCC'd email from your Gmail account to like 500 people, it's going to end up getting in spam. Your Gmail's going to get shut down. It won't be a great look for you. With that said, there are a lot of different email platforms you can use. I put Constant Contact and Action Network on here. They're used by a lot of campaigns. You can also use MailChimp and a few others just to get out weekly, daily updates on your email. With that said, you're going to want to link those emails to some sort of fundraising platform. ActBlue works with a lot of local campaigns. They're a Democratic-focused organization. They're really great. CrowdPack is another organization that you can do fundraising through, link to email, and use those as your payment processor. One quick thing I do want to add, you should use a campaign-based payment processor that links to your emails. For one thing, it'll sync up nicely with whatever other platforms you're using to manage your tools, or manage your list rather. And also it's going to collect important information like occupation and employer, which you really need on your campaign for the legal reasons. So just to wrap this up, email, there are platforms available to you, don't use Gmail. When you're thinking about writing emails, a few big things to also think about. Why are you sending this email? What do you need? Do you need volunteers? Are you trying to raise grassroots dollars? Did you just get an endorsement that you want to share and get people maybe to donate because of that? You want to give someone a reason to help you. Like, what can they do? What is the point of this email? What are they taking away from it that they can do to support your campaign? Then you want to write out what are the steps that they can take to support you. And the final piece, why right now? You need to create some urgency. If you just send an email that says like, hey, I'm raising money, we're going to do some stuff with the money, it's going to be great, no one's going to feel compelled to donate right now. If you say, hey, we've got a ton of momentum, the campaign's going great, the fundraising deadline for this quarter is tomorrow, we need you to chip in $10 now. That's really easy. Someone can solve that problem. They can feel that urgency and donate money to you. I want to go into a little bit more on creating content. Creating content is fun. That's creating photos, generating new tweets, Facebook posts, whatever it is. You want to make it simple, though. People don't give a lot of time and attention to every single post that they scan through or every ad that they see. So you want to make sure that if someone reads one or two sentences and sees a photo, they've digested it and they want to share it. So you want to make your content easy to take in. Creating a Facebook post with five different messages isn't going to make it easy for someone to take all that in. You want to keep it one message, one post. So easy to take in. Straight to the point. What are you trying to share? Did you just get a new endorsement? Did you hit 1,000 doors this weekend? Did you make 500 phone calls? What happened? Were you at an event? Straight to the point. And finally, you want to make it easy to share, or rather regurgitate. Folks love hitting that share button on Facebook, posting about a friend or a great candidate in their area. You want to give them a reason to share it by making your content simple. A little more notes on emails and about, you know, planning out what you're doing. This is a great example of a campaign email. You have a grab in the beginning sentence. You summarize the story in the email. And then you have quick links to take action. My Act Blue page was saved. So when I got this email, I got all these quick donate buttons, where I can just literally click that link. I'm logged into Act Blue. Boom, money sent. The great advantage of using ActBlue is this, but super simple. Someone can take action. There you go. Things to think about before you hit send. This applies to Facebook posts. This applies to tweets. This applies to email. Edit. You should have an editing process. If it's you, your significant other, that's fine. Make sure that everything that goes out is read by you and at least one other person, ideally two. It's a great project for mom and dad to help with, or someone to help with on your campaign who maybe isn't quite as capable of knocking doors. With that said, if you need to go through two rounds of edits, make sure that you have a process where you have a few days lead before you need to get a lot of big things out. And if you want to do a quick response, that you have folks on, like, right there that are willing to read for you. I can't tell you how many email lists I'm subscribed to where I see big typos or like something is a weird sentence. Just make sure that you read over your content. With that said, you should also read it out loud. Sometimes you might read something and it sounds fine, and then you like actually read it more closely and you're like, that makes no sense. So read it out loud. And then the final thing, read it again and then ask yourself, does this email push me to take action, or this post or whatever? If I read this, am I reading it and going, oh, like I get the point, but whatever, or, oh, I've read this, it's compelling, I'm gonna donate. And final tips, you want to know your voice, know who you are, what you're trying to say, and keep it consistent. You should be yourself and you should be your authentic self. There's no reason to change up who you are for the online world. Be who you are. Know what you're trying to accomplish. Make sure your posts have a point, a message. Even if the message is just like, look at how much fun we're having on this day, make sure there's a point there. And finally, make it easy and simple. Digital is simple. You don't need to overcomplicate it. Keep it nice and fun. And now I think I'm going to take some questions.
I have a question, especially when we're talking about the current news cycle and how everything happens on Twitter or on Facebook, especially with tweets by government officials. How do you decide when to engage and when to ignore the statements and news that is constantly breaking online, especially on Twitter?
Yeah, great question. The big thing is to focus on your campaign, right? You're running for your local office because you care about these three issues. This is what's the most important to you. If you see a tweet or a post or an article that affects your local area, your local campaign, that you really feel compelled to talk about, that's a great time to engage with it and talk about it. There is so much happening in the news, though. You don't want to get your local message conflated with what's happening all the time on the national scale. Again, keeping it simple, keeping it easy is going to be important for you to have one clear message online.
Cool. So let me ask you that for a really baseline thing. How much should a campaign invest in their digital presence in a website? Should it be a fairly simple thing? Should it have their complicated policy propositions on there so you can know everything about you need to know about a person online? What's your thought?
Yeah, definitely. So when people go to a campaign website, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to open it up and they're going to want to know who you are. So they're looking for like a big giant banner photo of you, some links to things that your bio, the issues you care about, whatever. They're not going to spend very long on your website, but they want it to be you need it to be a good website. You want it to look professional. You want it to be really beautiful for as cheap or as expensive as you can afford. In terms of your issues page, put content on there that you want to push out to the world. If you've written 12-page policy statements that you're comfortable with the news picking up and writing about, great, throw them on your website. With that said, if you look around most campaign websites, people don't have that much content on there. They have what's important and necessary to them.
So an about you, something on the issues, and I'm assuming it's...
Yeah, definitely. Your bio page is really, really important. But again, no one wants to read 20 paragraphs about your background and history. Keep it simple. Keep it concise.
Cool. Do you want to do the next one?
So how do you link online and offline voter contact? And how? So if someone comes to your website and says they want to volunteer or says something on Facebook or Twitter about how they want to volunteer, how do you then link that to whatever CRM you're using to manage your voters?
Yeah, great question and a really important one. This really digs into the process part. Make sure that you have a process set up for how your intake forms work. If you have a Google form to accept volunteers that you're sharing over Facebook and sending out an email, make sure that when someone clicks that form, someone is consistently checking that form. Ideally, you get an email every time someone submits that. Or if you see someone reading your Facebook post, like on your end, and you see someone say, hey, I want to volunteer, immediately, as fast as you can, get their name, their email, get them added to your database. If you're using Vote Builder, there are easy ways to create forms to get signups through that. But your online digital program allows you to get leads. It's up to you and your volunteers to follow up on those leads as fast as possible. If someone signs up on your website to take action, like to knock doors this weekend, you want to get to them as fast as possible before they get invited to a barbecue or something else so that you lock in their time and their shift.
I have one. So given the data breach scandals and in and around social media, does that or should that change any aspect of your outreach on social media? Should you have a stated policy about how people's data is handled, anything like that? People are just getting really sensitive.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important to talk about that on your sign-up forms and letting people know like what you're planning to do with their data. I will also say that it's important to create secure passwords and know that everything that you post or Facebook message or do on your various channels could at any moment become public. It's a sad reality of the times we live in, but it's important to know. You should do everything you can to protect your volunteers and whoever else's data. Don't post their phone numbers in public places if they don't ask you to. Same with their email addresses. Be sensitive. These people are helping you and you want to treat them with a lot of respect.
So I have a question around social and paid social. So especially with Facebook having new rules about paid social, what advice would you give to a small campaign about whether or not it's worthwhile to invest in paid social and how to navigate some of the new rules that social media sites are coming up with?
Yeah, that's a great question. For all of Facebook's shortfalls, they do a really good job of explaining how their digital tools work, what's happening with them, and how to best utilize them. If you're running with a small budget and you're trying to decide whether or not you should run paid Facebook ads, go through their little academy online. You can figure out so much about how the platform works and what kind of reach you can expect with it. You also should, you know, talk to friends, figure out if this is what you need. And also map out your goals. Why would you be doing a paid Facebook program? What are you trying to get? Are you trying to build your email list to raise grassroots dollars? Are you just trying to do general awareness about your candidacy? What is it that's your goal? And use that to figure out if that money could be well spent to reach your target audience.
Thank you so much for your time, Sarah.
Awesome. Thank you all. Hope it's very helpful.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks, Sarah.